We want to build our ships. We want to build our planes. We want to build our military equipment with steel, with aluminum from our country. And now we're finally taking action to correct this long overdue problem. It's a travesty. Today, I'm defending America's national security by placing tariffs on foreign imports of steel and aluminum.
Well, President Trump made it official on Thursday, a 25% global tariff on steel, a 10% tariff on aluminum, and it all takes effect in 2 weeks. Business leaders and a lot of congressional Republicans pleaded with the president not to impose these tariffs. So did White House economic advisor Gary Cohn, who resigned this week, largely over the issue, it seems. Now the tariffs are global, of course, but there's also a NAFTA negotiation going on. And so for now, Mexico and Canada are exempt. Anna Swanson writes about trade and international economics for the New York Times, and she's here to get to the bottom of some of the implications of the president's tariffs. Anna, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, these tariffs, 25%, 10%, what do you think might be some of the more immediate implications of the president's decision here?
Well, they are pretty broad, very high tariffs, as you noted. And with that, they will hit a range of industries and countries around the world. So I think one of the first impacts is that tariffs will cause prices to rise. For the companies that make steel and aluminum in the United States, that's a very welcome relief. However, there are a lot of industries that, of course, use steel and aluminum to make other products, things like cars, washing machines, things you might not think of, like buildings often use a lot of steel as well, for example. And the prices for those things will rise as well. So a lot of companies have complained that these tariffs might end up shrinking their profits and ultimately end up costing them jobs. And then, as you noted, the tariffs will take 2 weeks to go into effect. In the interim, we have a period where countries are going to be arguing for exemptions. And so we'll see some quite furious lobbying over that in Washington.
Well, Anna, let's look at these tariffs in the context of other trade moves on the international scene. The president pulled us out of TPP, as promised, pulled away from NAFTA altogether to renegotiate, not altogether, but to renegotiate it, as promised. What's the longer game here when you look at tariffs in the context of everything else? What other measures do you think the administration is going to take in the months and years to come to realize the president's trade vision here?
There are a number of trade actions that the administration has already pursued and that are still in the works. But I think this one is really the first big manifestation you see of President Trump's promises to take a very different tack on trade. He did withdraw from that trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which actually the 11 remaining countries went ahead and signed yesterday, just as the president was signing tariffs. Kind of a symbolic moment, right, for the U.S. departing from the rest of the world. And he also put some tariffs on solar cells and washing machines earlier this year, but the steel and aluminum tariffs are much bigger and broader and much more consequential in their effects than anything we've seen so far. They are considering some other measures to come. We still don't know what will happen with NAFTA. That negotiation is ongoing and could affect a lot of companies and industries. And then the administration is also working on a potentially very large trade measure that involves China to penalize that country for stealing American intellectual property. And that could bring more tariffs or potentially some restrictions on investment as well.
Well, the fears of a trade war or at least an escalation seem to be very real. Let's bring it back home for a second, Anna, because you mentioned NAFTA. Mexico and Canada were notably exempted from this tariff negotiation. Is that a negotiating tactic with Mexico and Canada there? No tariffs yet?
I think so. So in the actual proclamation that they signed yesterday, it talked a lot about national security and how Canada and Mexico are important to U.S. national security. I think they did that for legal reasons because these tariffs are designed to be about national security and protecting the U.S. industrial base. But if you listen to the rhetoric of the president and others in the administration, they're basically saying that Canada and Mexico having these tariffs is contingent on a good outcome for the U.S. in the NAFTA negotiations. And it's still not clear to me how Canada and Mexico will respond to that. Yesterday, you saw Canadian and Mexican officials say they wouldn't be bullied and that they weren't going to consider issues outside of the negotiation in the negotiation. On the other hand, especially for a country like Canada, which ships a lot of steel and aluminum to the United States, those are important industries. So could it sway that negotiation in the months to come? Could it amp up the pressure and possibly lead to the U.S. withdrawing or doing something more detrimental to the pact? We'll have to see.
So, Anna, we have to run, but when we watch these international trade negotiations, it's kind of hard to know, how's this going to affect me when I go to the store? Is there an item, are there things that people buy every day that they should be on the lookout for price increases if they're going to know that these clashes are starting to affect them?
So I actually think for a lot of consumers, the products that they buy, the price increases won't be that noticeable. The administration has held up the example of like a soup can or a pop can and said that, you know, it's just a fraction of a cent. When it comes to a $20,000 car, the cost increase might be more like a few hundred dollars. So not something you're going to immediately notice. However, the issue, economists say, is that when you multiply those costs across the broader economy, you're starting to talk about billions and billions of dollars. And that's just not something the economy or American people necessarily need right now. There could also be some other potential effects in terms of retaliation. For example, farmers, which ship a lot of soybeans abroad, are pretty worried about the potential for retaliation on their products. So the effects might be felt more keenly in some industries that are export-based. If that's part of your job, you could see potentially a slowdown from some of this.
And if there's a further escalation in the future, as you say, could be in the offing with technology transfers or intellectual property with China, these trade issues start to escalate and the price increases could start to permeate. I guess we don't know yet, but Anna Swanson, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your guidance with these confusing trade deals. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Anna Swanson covers trade and international economics for The New York Times.